The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
Hey, hey, and welcome in to the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out. We are brought to you by Remy Martin. I get to see my guy Jim from Remy. He's like, you need some more stuff? I'm like, man, whatever you got, dealer's choice. He's going to come and see us out at the remote. But they take good care of me. I haven't even rocked the Remy varsity jacket. You know what? I got you. I'm going to rock the Remy varsity jacket on one of these upcoming pods. I'm looking at it right now. It is so dope. Matter of fact, hold up. Fam, look at this thing. Are you kidding me? It's on like Radon Chong at some point. But that's not why you tuned in. You tuned in because hopefully you've been enjoying the fact that I've been doing pods every day until kickoff. That's the goal. I'm going to do a pod every day till kickoff. And someone in the comments was like, you understand that if the Bears win on Saturday that you have to keep going. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. I've enjoyed this. It is taking me back to my roots as a solo host. And I've been able to get the best of both worlds. I get to hang out with Speaks during the day and hang out with you at night here on House of L. And man, I'm so happy. My guy, Joe Ostrowski, was like, do you want some betting knowledge? I was like, yes. So he's going to be joining us throughout the playoffs, which is dope. You should check out his podcast, Chicken Dinner. If you're someone who really likes to get into the numbers, sports betting, Joe has got you covered. That's my main man. So getting him back on the show was like a big deal for me. And it being me, him, and Tanny back together, man, absolute love. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Kyler Gordon for the length of this podcast. Here's my thing, and I've got the Bears injury report right here. For those of you who didn't get a chance to see it, let me run it down for you and tell you why it's important. The guys who have concussions are not playing. Like, there's not enough time to get them out of the protocol. So Amen, Joe, Tryon, Shoyinka, and CJ Gardner-Johnson are all out. I said it a couple times on the pod this week. CJ's concussion looked really scary. And I know that you can't really tell. He might be fine, relatively fine. I'm using air quotes for those of you who are listening on Apple or Spotify. But it wasn't quite the fencing response that we see. But it was one of the scarier concussions that I've seen happen. Reactions to a concussion that I've seen happen since Tua. So he's out, and hopefully he's going to be okay. And I don't mean so that he can play if the Bears advance. Just I hope that he's okay. Kyler Gordon was at the top of the injury report, you know, because it's alphabetical after that. He was a full participant. I'll get back to that. He's listed as questionable. I'll get back to that. Braxton Jones practiced all week in full. So the simulated practice, the walkthrough, the practice, he is listed as questionable. And right now, those guys are listed as questionable because they're technically still on IR. They have to be elevated from IR to the active roster, which means you have to make roster decisions if you're going to activate them. I expect both guys will be activated. Grady Jarrett full practice. Jalen Jones, full practice. Nick McCloud, full practice. DJ Moore, full practice. And the Bears' own social media team put out a post today that said DJ Moore expected to return Saturday. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm DJ. Rome Odunze expected to return Saturday. Full participant, no designation. So when I say no designation, the injury report on the last day before you play, it gives you, here, I'll just put my phone up so you can see it. Oh, wait, you can't see it. There it is. On the last part of it, you see how on the side it says full and then questionable. If they've got the little line there, that means they're clear. They're good to go. There is no question that those players are going to play. I know I should have just put a picture up there, but I'm also watching the CFP, and I don't have time to fix it in post. So we're just doing this, all right? Come on! Anywho, Kyler Gordon is one of the most interesting players on the Bears roster. I think that he's one of the most important players on the Bears roster, and that's why he got the big payday. And I think anyone who saw Kyler Gordon play looked at him and was like, yeah, that's a real dude. The Bears need to pay up. He's so versatile. When DA came in and you started thinking about the ways that he could deploy him, I started thinking Honey Badger, because Kyler's that versatile. That you can do stuff like, I mean, he's already kind of done it in his career, but with Dennis Allen, you could line him up in a lot of different places. Yes, he is a slot guy, right? The highest paid slot defender, but he is capable of playing outside. By the way, playing slot is not a lot of fun, and you have to be extremely talented to do it in today's NFL, because of the way that it used to be almost like a slur to call a guy a slot receiver. That if you had one of those guys, they probably weren't, they're probably like my size, right? Like they're 5'9", 5'10", 5'11", and they're quick but not fast, or fast but not quick. They don't have the big body or the big catching radius, so you put them in the slot and you match people up. Well, now, offenses have gotten so sophisticated that some of the best receivers are motioning into the slot, and it's giving the quarterback a better idea of what the defense is running, for how the defense reacts to the X receiver going into motion. I love like guys like DJ Moore, for example, because they're kind of X receivers, but you can use them anywhere. If you've got that guy or Cooper Kupp or, you know, Puka Nacua, if you've got guys like that that can cause havoc by going in motion and changing the geometry of a defense, you got something. But the game always counters. That's the beautiful thing about it. My favorite sports book is Blood, Sweat, and Chalk by Tim Layton. If you have not checked it out, you need to. It's a great football book. I read it every year before the season starts, and sometimes I read it per chapter, because you can go to a specific chapter and it's a different era of football. So if you want to learn about zone read, there's a whole chapter on it. You want to learn about cover two, there's a whole chapter on the history of it. You want to learn about air raid or West Coast offense, there's a whole chapter on it. So I use it as a reference guide all the time. And the thing is every time there's an offensive innovation, there has to be a defensive innovation. Kyler Gordon is the evolution of the slot corner, of your nickel back. He's the evolution of it. Oh, you mean to tell me that this is a guy that's got outside corner skills? Oh, and he is a willing tackler. And I can blitz him? That's like the full package for that position. Pretty much any position. But to be able to play, because you're, as a slot guy, you have to have really, a really good sense of direction, change of direction, all of that stuff. And that we know he's tough. We know that he can kind of play like a strong safety at times, or depending on your alignment, like a super light linebacker, weak side linebacker. The guy is valuable. And the Bears have pretty much been without his service all year. Is it asking a lot to have him come and play in a playoff game? Yes, but this is part of the reason that they paid you the big bucks. Ordinarily, I don't like guys playing when they're hurt. I am almost dead set against it. When it's, as Doug Buffon would say, nut cutting time, you got to go play. If you can play, you got to at least try. Now, I suspect this is not anything that anyone has told me. This is just me reading the tea leaves. When he went on IR and you saw how many weeks were left, I kind of thought, you know, I don't think that this is a 4-week injury for Kyler. But it makes sense for the Bears to put him on IR, because why play him when you can rehab him? So I feel like the last 2 weeks of Kyler Gordon has been him rehabbing and conditioning. And then we get to today when he could go full in practice. Now, all of that stuff, all the training, all the explosive training, all that stuff that the Bears training staff probably did, him playing in practice, it's important and it matters. It's not the same as playing in games. It's not, and it's definitely not the same as playing in a playoff game, because you're also kind of handling your own anxiety and emotion when you get out there. But I think it was the best thing to do. If what I think is right about how they did this, I think it's the best way to go about getting Kyler back on the field. Now, here's the thing about that. When you do have someone that isn't in game condition and they have to work themselves through it in game condition, they might be limited in snaps. But I think that that's actually okay. If we're talking about just passing downs, we're talking about, you know, 15 to 20 of those, like down in distance, passing down in distance. We're talking 15 to 20 of those in the game. I don't think that they should only play him on those downs. I think it's going to be up to Ben and DA to kind of pick their spots. I would suspect if he plays that he, I would be shocked if he plays more than 25 snaps. And if he does, I think the Bears are in great shape. If he's fine, I think it helps them quite a bit that he is on the field. His dynamic ability as a defender is very much needed right now for the Bears. And yeah, it's in the pass game where we've seen them struggle with man coverage. It's also, he's a good zone defender too. Kyler's a really good football player. It's a win as long as he, it's a win for Ryan Poles as long as Kyler stays healthy. You do worry about the kinetic chain of someone breaking down once they have one or two of those soft tissue injuries. And yeah, I expect that the team has already devised a different plan for Kyler in the offseason. I would imagine that there's going to be a change in hydration, in diet, in workout, because they've paid him a lot of money and he's super important to what it is that you want to do as a defense. But if he goes out there and plays, it could be the difference between the Bears winning and them losing. And I hate to put that much pressure on one player, but we know that this team has struggled with their pass rush, and there have been times in the run game where they have not had enough sure tacklers rally to the ball. Kyler does a lot of that stuff. He's a great blitzer as well. So having him as a weapon, just even having him is something that Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur have to think about. Super important. So I hope it works out. He's one of my favorite players to watch. Like down at, I know that you're going to be worried about like the overall game, and as you should be, like you should party it up and get some chips and dips and have a drink and whatever. Remy and ginger ale, by the way, or Remy and ginger beer. I'm telling you, but not too many, but a couple of them will get you right. The VSOP, woo! Anyway, but I sometimes love to focus in on one player, and he's one of those players that catches your eye. You're like, hey, what's that guy doing? I think it'll be easier to do it this week than in other weeks when he plays, you know, 50 snaps in a game. But I hope he plays because I really do think that he's important. And we're getting close, right? Like we're getting close to the game now. And it's, these are fun times. I've been telling everyone. Braggs hit me up from CHGO and we were talking and I said, hey man, this is what it's about. It's not about the team is bad and you're screaming at the top of your lungs about how bad they are. That's not what it's about. This is what it's about. When it's fun and it's extra and everyone is engaged, like you're watching and listening and reading, and it's fun to program the show. It's fun to do extra work. It's fun to do the pod, all that stuff. Because of how much it matters to you, how much to the Bears fan, like this thing is a thing. I do miss covering it. Not that I couldn't go like cover it. I could get credential, but I'm kind of liking the perch that I have now. And it's taken me a while to get to this point, but Dan was right about something, mostly right about something. He always liked to keep a good distance away from things because you don't want to be co-opted. And I appreciate that. I think that there is a value in being closer to things. Both of us have done the job of being a reporter. Dan was one of the most instrumental people in me becoming a reporter. So I think there's value of being close to it, but you have to navigate how close you are to it. And now where I don't feel like I have to, when I was younger, even as a talk show host, I felt like I needed to be out there. And I'm out there a little bit. You know, I like to still occasionally see people that you know, talk to folks. When I went to training camp back in August, it was great. I got to see a bunch of people at the Bears that I haven't seen in a long time. And it was nice to go back there. And I don't want to get anyone in trouble because there are people up at Alice Hall that don't like me. But there are plenty of them that do. And one of the people that I really respect, when I showed up there, gave me a hug and was like, man, you have grown wise. And that was a hell of a compliment. So hopefully I can affirm that faith that person has in me when it comes to breaking stuff down. I mean, you make mistakes and stuff, but that really actually meant a lot to me because that person saw my entire career of me being me not knowing what the hell I was doing in 2003 when they gave me a microphone and a mini disc player and told me to cover the Bears to where I am now. You know, having this great show with Spiegs and Tanny and Alex. But I love this part of it. Like this part. Carmen was talking about it when she was on the show a few weeks ago. And she's right. There are moments where we have these great jobs, but they're still jobs. And there are moments inside of the job that push you forward, make you grow. And while you're growing, you're also remembering the things that you love about it. And these last, I don't know, 2 months of the Bears season, going back to the game against Philly, you could feel the energy change. And it's dope. It, like that energy that you have, those feelings that you're feeling right now as a Bears fan is I get it, you know? And that's what people always say to me, I don't believe that you don't root for the Bears. And I don't know how to tell you this, but knowing how the sausage is made does change you. So it's different for me. But what I do like is trying to represent you and seeing it through your eyes. I'm excited because I love ball. Like I love when there are stakes on the line, man. It is just, let's go. Like, I love that shit, man. Like, bring it on. And feeling the energy that we get from the audience on the radio show or the people in the comments here on House of L, that's why we do this. Being in the moments of these great games where you get to play a part in telling the story of what's gone on. That's why you pick up a microphone or you pick up a camera or you pick up a pen. Is because you love these stories and you want to help tell them. And it's nice to have the reminders of that occasionally. It's been so down, like it. Life in Bearsville. Is that the Liz Phair? Is it Life in Guysville? Is that the name of the album? It's been so sad and bordering on apathy for a lot of Bears fans, and we feel that too. I hate talking about bad teams. There's a certain point you get to where. Like, I'm at that point with the White Sox. Like, talk to me when you're at, like, 74 wins. And I know that it's like, oh, they got Japanese Schwarber. They still lost 100 games. They've lost 100 games in the last 3 years. But when you see that it's rising up and it's getting good and things matter, it's dope, and I can't wait for Saturday. I can't. This city is, God, I love this place, man. Throughout my career, like when I first started covering the team, and I'm sorry because now the episode's going a little longer than I thought, and there's a little bit more navel gazing than I expected there to be on the episode. But when I first started covering the team, I was really concerned with a couple of things. Trying to get the job right, you're doing a good job for the score, and I was just trying to get the mechanics of reporting down, which I don't know if I ever really got to the place where I wanted to be, but I felt like I did a good job of representing the public when I did the job. But something happens to you in the same way that my fandom might go away. There were things that I picked up. So being there, parking on the Waldron deck and talking to people as they're going in or coming out. Usually you're there after the game for a couple hours. Strangely enough, sometimes it takes that long to get out of Soldier Field. But running into people and talking to them, and then you understand that your role is a little bit bigger, that you have to sometimes ask the tough question. You have to sometimes play the role of agitator to try and get answers. You have to represent the people in the most professional way that you can. And I mean, even when the Bears are good, there's nothing like it. Nothing. It's why I always say covering Hallis Hall is the sports equivalent in this town to City Hall. It's like covering politics. Show ends tonight. And I'm like, I've been being real good like this past week. You know, I've been making sure that I'm not doing too much on the sweets. Like, I've been eating a lot of fruit and a ton of protein because I'm lifting and all this stuff. And like, I forgot to figure out what my protein is. So I went to Whole Foods on the way back in Hyde Park. And there I am in the aisle. I'm like, I should probably pick up some laundry detergent. Like, this is what's on my mind. This guy walks up to me and he's like, yo, you're the guy from the show, right? And I'm like, yes. I never know. Sometimes people will say I'm whoever, you know, name any black person in media in Chicago. Hey man, you couldn't Kenny McReynolds, right? And I'm like, no, but whatever. But this guy was like, I love listening to the show. And we talked for probably like 5 minutes and I could tell what he was leading up to. He wanted to know what I thought was going to happen on Saturday. And we danced around it. And he's like, so you think they win? And I said, you know, I'm a little nervous about this game. I don't understand why the odds makers have the Packers as the favorite. That's weird to me. And I'm trying to figure out what I missed. Like, there's something I missed in my prep on this game. Because I feel like the Bears are the better team. It's hard for me to believe that a team that's lost 4 games in a row and the starting quarterback hasn't played in 3 weeks, that they're better than the team that won the division, but whatever. So we talk. He was really nice. I get my laundry detergent, I give him a water, I get my chicken breast, and I'm like, well, the weekend you can play around, so I got me some brownies. Not those type of brownies, just regular brownies. Because I'm going to have a cheat day and there will be brownies that are consumed. And it might be Saturday. Who knows? I'm standing there looking at the brownies and I'm thinking, because Whole Foods usually has the really good, like, one-off desserts too. So you can get like a piece of vanilla cake or a strawberry shortcake, which I love. And I'm looking at the brownies and this guy's like, hey, coach. And I'm like, because usually only football people call me coach or my old players. Yes, I coached high school football. I don't know if I've talked about this a lot, but for 3 years, I coached high school football over at my dad's school, Washington High School on the Southeast Side. And so I'm used to like occasionally running into one of my ex-players. They would call me Coach Hootie because I wore glasses, I guess, and I apparently look like Darius. I don't, but whatever. He's like, coach, what are the Bears gonna do this weekend? Also, Wani calls me coach, like Coach Dave, but football coaches are like that. The Bears used to have a coach named Carl Dunbar, who I believe is still working as a defensive line coach in Pittsburgh, and he'd be like, coach, because coaches love to call other people coach, and they're calling other people coach in the building all day. So everyone's coach. Get it? Coach, you got to have him run that drill again. And he was asking me about the game. And I just smiled. I was in Whole Foods for, I don't know, 10 minutes. And 8 minutes of me being in Whole Foods was me answering Bears questions. Like, I know it's lit right now. Like, I get it. And the temperature of this city in a big game for the Bears it's unlike anything else, man. And I can't wait. I found myself like missing some people who would love this. Like, I miss JD. He would love this. Doug would love this. I left the podcast last night and I went upstairs and I read some pages of Doug's book. I'm going to share a passage on the radio show Friday. But I kept thinking to myself, Doug would love this. He would be in his element. He would be on every day on The Score. And he would want to. He would come up with something. He would come up with something that he'd want to talk about. And those moments, like, that's what you do it for. And that's the thing that Ben Johnson deserves a lot of credit for: breathing life back into this organization, for bringing electricity back to this place. Because it felt like nothing was happening, and now it's happening. It's happening in a big way. And I don't know what happens if they lose, and we'll cross that bridge if we get to it. But what happens if they win? Have you allowed yourself to think about that part of it? What happens if they win? I'll talk to you next time. Peace.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.